Hear the 122nd Psalm, a Psalm of David. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go into the house of the Lord." Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is built as a city that is compact together, where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, to the testimony of Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. For thrones are set there for judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. Peace be within your walls, prosperity within your palaces. For the sake of my brethren and companions, I will now say, peace be within you. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. So far, the text. In the book of Revelation, St. John writes of the new Jerusalem. After describing that place where there shall be no more sorrow or tears, he says, "But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple." The children of Israel knew their city of Jerusalem, the city that now is over 3,000 years old, which has been fought over, captured, occupied by foreign powers, divided and destroyed. And yet, for the Old Testament believers, it was the center of their faith and their hope. The faith which would come to be fulfilled in Jesus, the promised one, the Messiah, the Christ, the one who once purified the temple, and who was then crucified in sight of it. In the New Testament, it is not only important, this temple and Jerusalem, not only important for historical reasons as the place of the temple, but it is the symbol for the final fulfillment of all things, so that we sing at the end of our church year, "Jerusalem, the golden, with milk and honey fair, and Jerusalem, my happy home, where the Lamb of God reigns with his people in eternity." The city is also called Zion, which refers not only to the city, but also to the heaven of heavens, where God dwells with his people. Jerusalem, the holy place of Israel, the city of God, the temple was where God dwelt. Of course, it was not as though the Jewish people were so foolish as to believe that God was locked up in such a place, for he could still be everywhere in his creation. And yet, this was the Lord's true house. Solomon prayed at the dedication of the temple, "Will God indeed dwell with men on the earth? Behold, heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain you. How much less this temple, which I have built? Yet listen to the prayer which your servant is praying before you, that your eyes may be opened toward this temple day and night, toward the place where you said you would put your name, that you may hear the prayer which your servant prays toward this place." The inhabitants of Israel, who might be coming to Jerusalem on a pilgrimage, could see their temple from a distance, and they could see it as the house of the Lord, their Lord, who is not bound to places and yet is present in his temple with all of his divine majesty, with his peace, and with his comfort. Those who stand before this temple are called, in this psalm, the tribes of the Lord. And for the Old Testament believers, that meant that they were God's elect, his chosen ones. And of course, that makes them to be no different from the believers in the New Testament. For they are God's people too, his church, who stand before him in repentance and faith. And the psalmist writes that thrones are set there for judgment, the thrones of the house of David. That makes it clear that this psalm has the Messiah in view, the anointed one, the Christ. Messiah is God's Son, the Lord, the one that Isaiah will speak of in his great prophecy as the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And they await the Messiah, the promised salvation from God. In his name they pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Peace be within you. Now, as the children, the people of God, stood before their temple, this house of God, they brought along with them all of their despair, all of the heavy weight of their captivities, their sinfulness, and their hopelessness. They were beaten down again and again by their enemies, but their worst enemy was their own selves. They had met the enemy, and he is us. But even with that burden, they still pray for peace, and they receive from their God that promise of peace. And because their Lord spoke to them in that way, they had come into the very presence of their Lord God, the Creator, the one who had led them out of Egypt, who led them through the Red Sea and through the wilderness and through their own perils of unfaithfulness, their grumbling against God and their idolatry. And yet, he was faithful to the promise that he made to them. He fed them with manna, with food for their bodies, and also food for their souls. He brought them across the Jordan River into that promised land, the land of milk and honey. And in years to come, he brought them back to himself over and over and over again, never giving up on them. And that is us. We are not different from them. We come into the temples built here for us. God is not limited to this place or to that space. And yet, when you come into this place, you have entered the house of God, and not just in a figurative way. This is God's house because he is present with us in the word that he preaches to us. When you come here to hear his word, you come here with all of your burdens, with your sorrows, your uncertainties, your loneliness, your sin, and your unfaithfulness, your forgetfulness, all the burdens and guilt, all that sin and guilt that you carry with you every single day, day in and day out. And yet he comes before you here and gives you the peace of Jerusalem, the peace of his heavenly kingdom. God speaks to you here. Where his word is, there he is. He speaks to you in the word of the prophets and the apostles, who proclaim to you, "Thus saith the Lord." And he speaks to you there the word of forgiveness. I was glad when they said unto me, "Let us go into the house of the Lord." This is the house of the Lord. For when you come before your God here, you hear the glad tidings of great joy. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. When you walk into this chapel, my dear friends, you enter the very gates of heaven. That heaven is yours because God has promised it to you. He has made you his own. He has made that promise to you in your baptism. And he feeds you with the heavenly manna of his body and blood. He has given you the peace which surpasses all understanding to keep you through his word of grace. Thanks be to God. Amen.